Welcome, listeners, to a bonus episode as we've hit our second goal on our Patreon. We have three bonus episodes we're going to be doing, and our second one here is I've picked four of my favourite films, four of my films that I really enjoy. And we got our patrons to vote on which film they wanted us to break down the most. And out of the other choices of Animal Kingdom, Mystic River, and Predestination, they went for Alexander Payne's Sideways.
Let me show you how this is done. Hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for colour and clarity. Now, stick your nose in it.
Maybe some strawberry.
Oh, there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
When do we drink it
now?
Mmm.
Are you chewing gum?
No.
Spit it out.
So Sideways, released in 2004, starring Paul Giamatti, Thomas Hayden Church, Virginia Madsen, and Sandra Oh, with music by Rolf Kent. Do you know that guy?
Can't say I know many Rolfs.
Many Rolfs. He's done a lot of Alexander Payne's work, including Election, About Schmidt. He also did some pretty interesting scores for Legally Blonde, Freaky Friday, and Mean Girls. He also did one for Up in the Air as well.
Very upbeat then.
Yes,
it is. Which is what this score is.
Cinematography by Fedon Papamichael, who also did some cinematography for more Alexander Payne work, including Nebraska, which he got nominated for an Oscar for. The Descendants, and also Walk the Line.
Have you seen The Descendants?
I have.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. Saw it once way back in the day and enjoyed
it. Yeah, me too.
Based off the novel by Rex Pickett, the screenplay by Alexander Payne and Jim Taylor, directed by Alexander Payne. Do you know, have you seen any other of his films?
Yeah, I saw Election.
That was actually nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay at the Oscars that year. About Schmidt.
Haven't seen it.
Obviously, we spoke about The Descendants, which got nominated for Best Picture and Best Director that year. Nebraska, haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
Got nominated for Best Director for that one too. And Downsizing, which is terrible.
Haven't seen it.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he doesn't make a lot of films. He does a film every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and a lot of them, but he's got some nominations for here.
I mean, he's critically well-received,
including this film. Got nominated for 5 Oscars that year.
Nice. What were they?
It won Best Adapted Screenplay.
Awesome.
This was actually the first film to win Best Screenplay from all 5 major critic groups that year, which was the National Board of Review, New York, Los Angeles, Broadcast Film Critics, and the National Society of Film Critics, as well as the Golden Globes, the BAFTAs, the WGA, and ultimately the Academy Awards.
Huge.
Yes. The other ones it got nominated for was Best Director, Best Supporting Actress for Virginia Madsen, Best Supporting Actor for Thomas Hayden Church, and Best Picture. Coincidentally, despite...
So no love for Giamatti.
What I was about to say, despite receiving Best Actor nominations at the Golden Globes, the Screen Actors Guild, and 4 of the 5 major critic groups, Paul Giamatti failed to get the Oscar nomination.
Unlucky.
Weirdly, though, Clint Eastwood got nominated for Best Actor that year for Million Dollar Baby, despite not getting nominated in any of those other groups. Yeah, bit odd.
He must be a Academy favourite, our Clint.
I think he is.
I say our Clint. Really, I have no ownership whatsoever of him.
Yes, don't try and claim Clint. So Alexander Payne was flying back from Edinburgh, where he had his film festival promoting Election, when he had the chance to finally read Rex Pickett's book on Sideways. And as he landed, he quickly ran to the payphone to call his agent to purchase the rights. He later told Pickett he liked his novel because his characters were, quote unquote, so fucking pathetic.
I mean, they're not that pathetic.
Well, that's what he thought they were, and that's what he went for. We talk about casting every once in a while. George Clooney campaigned to play the part of Jack, but Alexander Payne thought that he was too big of a star at that point.
I agree.
Yeah, but luckily he went on to do The Descendants later on with him. What about Brad Pitt or Aaron Eckhart? Also went for the role of Jack.
No, I think Thomas Jane is perfect in this role.
What about Thomas Hayden Church?
Thomas Hayden Church, equally as good.
If not better.
Thomas Jane.
Jesus.
Wow.
That was random. Thomas Hayden Church had actually left film acting and was concentrating on voiceover work at the time when he got the call to audition for this role, which is basically what his character was doing in the film.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know Thomas Hayden Church from anything except Spider-Man 3.
Me too. Probably did a lot of work back in the 90s, I guess. Obviously, at this point, he quit acting.
Good looking fella, though.
Yeah, he's not bad. It's that hair.
Bit of a rig on him.
I don't know if you know this, but he stripped naked for his audition because that's what the scene called for. No one else actually did that when they auditioned for that role.
Must have a huge cock.
Jeez, tell it like it is.
I don't remember. Do we see his cock in this? We saw a lot of cock in this.
I don't think we do.
Maybe I'll need to rewatch and pay close attention.
Now, this is a very wine-centric film. Paul Giamatti...
Oh, that's an understatement.
Paul Giamatti admitted
to... Holy shit!
He faked every bit of wine knowledge in this film, actually not understanding why anyone would care about it.
What do you mean he faked it? Do you mean he read the script?
Yeah, he didn't know anything about wine throughout this film whatsoever.
I mean, they're an actor. You don't expect him to.
But do you think you have some idea of what...
He's not Daniel Day-Lewis. All right, he's not going to method act all this whining.
Why not? Because you just said, "Oh, Paul Giamatti, he's an actor. You can't be known or stuff." Not like Daniel Day-Lewis, an actor.
No, but Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor, right? Paul Giamatti, he just reads the words. He does it very well. You don't need to become your character, Hendo.
You could have got a little bit of knowledge about wine.
Why?
Why not?
I feel like just watching this film, I know more about wine than most people.
The sign of a good actor from Paul Giamatti. He puts on such a fantastic performance, in my opinion.
Yes, performance. Yes. He doesn't actually have to know all that, Hendo.
Good on him. Maybe his performance would have got the best actor nomination if he knew a bit about wine.
So you didn't think his performance was good enough in this?
I just said it was. Maybe if he actually put on some wine knowledge, getting some wine knowledge, maybe the Academy might have gone, perfect.
I don't think he could have shown any more wine knowledge. It's not like, all right, Paul, ad-lib this scene, go.
Would have worked.
No, it wouldn't have worked.
It would have worked if you got some wine knowledge.
Why are you even saying this? You wouldn't say this if it was a doctor in a film. You'd be like, gee, they really should have studied med school to, you know, really make this authentic. You wouldn't say that. Why are you just like, oh, no, well, he's drinking wine. He really should know his stuff. No, he really should remember his lines, Hendo.
He should have got to know some wine because
you are
wine
talking
is very nice.
Shit.
Wine is nice.
Yeah, I'm not a wine drinker.
You're not. You are not. I'm a red.
In fairness, I haven't tried wine in years now. Like, I sort of got to that point where I was like, yeah, I don't like wine, so I'm not going to try it anymore.
You're a bit older now.
I am a bit older now.
I guess a little bit more sophisticated.
Am I?
Well, from 10 years ago, you probably were.
I mean, in fairness, though, 10 years ago, I was drinking most things, you know.
Goon.
I never drank goon.
Is goon an Aussie thing?
I mean, I think so. Goon bags, cask wine.
Yeah, that's what they refer to it in America, the cask wine, I guess.
I'm sure cask wine is everywhere.
We talk about box of goon. We use it as a pillow when we pass out in the bush. So apparently the character of Stephanie in the book was a lot different. And author Rex Pickett was actually unhappy of the changes they made to Sandra Oh's character. Apparently her name in the book was Terra.
What? They completely changed the character.
She didn't ride a motorbike and she didn't have a biracial child. So in retaliation, in Pickett's follow-up novel, Vertical, Terra is now a working prostitute.
What do you mean Terra?
The character of Stephanie is called Terra.
Do you mean Tara?
T-E-R-R-I. Tara?
T-E-R-R-I.
Terra.
Terry.
T-E-R-R-A, I said.
You said I.
Did not.
If only there was some way to check.
Well, it's T-E-R-R-A.
Terra. Yeah, it's a weird name. No wonder he changed it. My notes would have been like, who names their kid Terra?
Apologies to all the Terras out there. But this was released on the 22nd of October in 2004 with a runtime of 127 minutes with the tagline of In Search of Wine, In Search of Women, In Search of Themselves.
Yeah, solid.
It's all right. It's mid-tier. I'd say that's mid-tier
tagline.
Yeah,
mid-tier's fair.
It was released out to just under 1,800 theatres in America, was out there for about 30 weeks with a budget of about $16 million. It grossed $71 million in America for 40th for the year and worldwide grossed $110 million for 51st.
Oh, it's a huge success.
Even at 40th, that's crazy. Oh, you can't even say, yeah, like, we're measuring based off the budget, so I'm sure there's... At that point, you got your Harry Potters and that make hundreds and hundreds of millions, and their budget is much, much higher than $16 million.
Exactly. It's all relative, Hendo.
So Alexander Payne selected the film's wine list himself. He must be very much into the wine there.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
I mean, how much he would know about wine if he's selecting these wines?
Well, he wrote the screenplay as well, so that when they're talking about specific wines, he's got the wine knowledge here.
Jesus. See, I would have thought that'd be all in the book.
Well, I guess it might be playing to a different time as well, like a different period in the lives. So maybe they're going with different wines that would be good at that time.
Mm.
So most of the wine used in the wine tasting scenes was non-alcoholic, but the actors did wind up drinking so much that it made them a bit nauseated, which they then had to actually switch to the real thing to clean out their palates. Thomas Hayden Church said that the grape juice or the non-alcoholic wine that was consumed was about 95% of the time. Actually, Paul Giamatti said that the actors drank real wine and that he was actually very drunk after shooting a certain dinner scene.
Which one?
Probably the one where he looks drunk.
That would explain it.
That's method acting there, Dean.
There you go. Does that make you happy, Hendo?
He definitely gets method acting when he's drunk. So I did mention that that sequel to the novel, Vertical. The actual story of that is when Miles writes a bestseller and is again reunited with his mother and Jack. However, according to Rex Pickett, Alexander Payne had no interest of directing a sequel to that film.
Yeah. This movie does not need a sequel.
It doesn't. I don't even know why they made a book sequel to this. This is fine.
Yeah, I don't know, because he needs to sell more books. And he thought, wow, this Good has point. Been a big success.
Yeah, bestseller. Maybe
if I write a sequel, I'll make more money.
So the film's title is never actually explained in the film itself, but it is made quite clear in the novel where the term sideways is actually used for intoxicated.
Is that a thing made up by the novel, or have you heard of that before?
I haven't heard of that before.
Oh, okay.
But this does have an average of 7.5 over 171,000 ratings. So that's not bad. 7.5. Pretty good.
Not bad.
But let's see what we think of the film. Let's get into it, Dean. So we get introduced to Miles here.
Yeah. So I like that we start with a black screen, though, and we hear noises before the screen ever really turns on for us.
Mm.
And that not only represents that, you know, he's asleep, so his eyes are closed if we're getting a, you know, standard POV shot, but also that, you know, he's blacked out. Like, he's blacked out to the world at this point.
It's a very good analogy, Dean. I like it. What do you think of the days that come up?
Good. Like, they're fine. Like,
it works well because they're on a time schedule here. The fact that next Saturday is the wedding, so you can see how the film's progressing.
Yeah, and by the time it gets to Friday, you're like, oh, okay, shit,
something's got to happen.
Getting
here.
Married tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. I love it. How I love what I love of this film is the snap cut comedy to it.
Yeah, this is funny. This is a funny film.
This is a hilarious film.
Like, I didn't realize going in this was a comedy.
Just this point here, where he's like, "Yeah, I'm on my way. All right, I'm going now." Snap cut to him taking a shit.
Yeah, I was like, "Is this a new day?" And then he's like, "All right, I'm in a rush. I'll just take a coffee. Also, I want this croissant and this other." And I was like, "This guy is just pulling my leg."
He doesn't care. Even the shots of him like doing the crossword while driving on the freeway. It's so brazen. And he's still onto it here when he gets to Jack's house and they're like, oh, well, you're a bit late. Yeah, traffic bumper to bumper. Like,
but they know. They know he's full of shit.
I don't know. I think Jack thinks he's full of shit. I think all the other people there believe him. Like, Jack just looks at him like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, but we learn that Miles is an author here. And he gets really belittled by Jack's future father-in-law.
Yeah, when he talks about...
Fiction or non-fiction.
Yeah, fiction is just, what's the point? He's like, yeah. And he just like that face just drops.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. Just gives him a stare.
But this scene here where Jack just changes, right? Because he's been poster boy up to this point.
Yeah.
They're driving away. And he's like,
where the fuck were you?
Why the fuck did you take so long? Come I was on, dying in there. It's like, oh, okay, cool. This guy's a normal guy.
Yeah. And you can see the contrast of their, I guess, their personalities here, where Jack busts out this really expensive champagne and Miles like, you know, I've been saving this. This is very expensive. Jack doesn't give a shit. Pops it open. Like, no. Oh, man. Like, Jack doesn't care. Jack's there to get drunk, have a good time. Miles is, you know, he's kind of a uptight perfectionist kind of person, especially when it comes to wine.
Almost exclusively when it comes to wine. But
even like him, he does the Times crossword and all that. He stops to get his coffee in a Danish. He's sort of upper class.
Ooh.
In his mind, he's upper class, but he's definitely.
Are you saying he thinks of himself highly?
I think he thinks he's better than a lot of people with his knowledge or what he does.
Okay.
You know, he's a teacher. He writes a book. He knows everything about wine.
I wouldn't say Miles is someone who has a high self-esteem. That's all.
No, I don't think that. I don't think he's high self-esteem, but I think he thinks he knows a lot more than a lot of people.
Aren't they conflicting views?
No, you can still think you're a piece of shit, but know a lot more than other people.
I guess.
Maybe I could say he's passionate about what he loves.
I mean, I don't think that's relevant.
Lots of knowledge on stuff that he is very passionate about.
Yep. But it is funny seeing them using glasses while they're driving, drinking this wine.
Yep.
You don't often see that, but there's a funny little scene here where he's just like, so did you read the latest draft, Jack? Yeah, it was good. I was like, what about that ending? You know, pretty crazy, changed it. Yeah. I didn't change the ending. It's like, okay.
But it felt like you did by that time. I was like, yep.
Because so much of the rest of the book had changed.
Yeah.
He's like, get fucked. But these two do have great chemistry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And a scene like this, scene where, I don't know, they have an interesting friendship. Like, obviously, they're best friends. Miles is Jack's best man. But they really...
They are very conflicting. Like, they couldn't be...
Yeah, they're not alike.
Yeah, exactly. They're completely different to each other.
Yeah. So, it is odd how these two have been friends for so long and so close to each other. Like, they clearly have a deep affection for each other.
Yeah.
Right. But... Yeah, they are so different and they get on each other's nerves a lot.
Yeah, because you've got Jack who's this, you know, he's an adulterer. He just wants to go out and screw around. And you got Miles, who doesn't like that, obviously, but he's definitely more on the sophisticated / semi-pretentious kind of person, you know, a bit of anxiety and all that. And Jack's like, come on, mate, like, just loosen up, would you?
Yeah. How funny is this stuff when he goes to the mum's? He pulls off. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, I've got to see my mum. It's her birthday. Oh, you didn't say it was her birthday. All right, let's go say hello. And it's just like, he's like, oh, we're not staying for dinner. No.
Snap cut to dinner. I love it how he's also like writing in the card as he's walking to the door.
Yeah.
It's just so sudden.
And even then, it's just like, the mum's just like, oh, I've put the beds out. And the look that Jack gives, like, it's not like, you know, overtly noticeable, but it's this glance, like real subtle acting from him. It's just like, yup.
Just like the way Miles, the son, acts at his mum's house. As soon as he gets there, he just slumps on the couch like, yeah, like, ma, meatloaf kind of person.
Yeah, he's home. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
He wants to be looked after here. But then if ever we were unsure whether or not this guy was a good guy, he goes upstairs, starts going through the mum's drawers and robs her, like knows where her savings is. And takes roughly about $1,000 out.
Yeah.
And the kicker is, the real killer is, that the mum offers him money later on.
I think when he hears that, he's like, oh, damn it. Like,
no, I think it's more just a shame thing, like a pride thing.
It is, but he definitely feels a little down after he hears that he could have just got the money the right way.
I don't think so. I think he already knew that his mother is someone who would lend him money or give him money, but he's, as you say, like he thinks he shouldn't be in that position where he has to, you know, ask his mum for money at that point in his life.
We also get this little photo that we see of his wedding. So we know that there's been prior issues with that. Clearly, he's not with her anymore.
Yeah, and we get a bit of a sadder score here. Sad music, sad
Giamatti. What do you think of the score?
Yeah, good. Uppity.
Yeah, it's very fun. Jazzy along the way as well.
Yeah.
And it definitely plays well. Like when you said here, it knows when to be sad. But then in those comedic moments, it's upbeat and it's entertaining. Actually, this picture that you see of Miles with his dad, sometimes when you see some of these pictures in movies, you can see that they're definitely photoshopped to a younger person. Now, this is actually Paul Giamatti and his dad when Paul Giamatti was younger. So, they've got one of his old school photos.
Oh, when he was younger. Nice.
No, like it was the day before they did it, you twat. Also, while we're here, the food that these three people eat for this dinner, they actually all got food poisoning because of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it? You don't even know. Was it seafood? I bet it was seafood.
Do you think his mum's whipping up some seafood? Probably got something out of a tin in the microwave.
Yeah, what? No. Come on. Mum does not make tinned stuff from microwaves.
Barbecue.
Yeah, could have been. But no, Miles has this whole thing planned out. They're going to drink wine and play golf. And it's going to be a great celebration.
That sounds like half perfection to you. How did you go with like watching all the golf here?
Loved it. Loved it. I was like, when he said golf, I was like, oh, I hope we see some scenes on a golf course.
Were you loving it when Jack was telling him? I was like, bend your knees. Like, yeah, bend your knees. Yeah, you've got to swing right. Follow through.
I just like seeing someone hit the ball as badly as I do.
I was going to say, were you more Jack or Miles?
I was like, hey, it's not just me. But this scene where Miles is teaching Jack on how to actually taste wines.
This is fantastic.
Very educational.
I love this scene so much. I did see this when it came out of the cinema back in 2004.
Did you?
Yeah, went and watched it. And that was my love for it. I'm like, wow, random. Man, this is great.
I had no idea.
Well, when I was at TAFE back in the day in 2004, when school would finish, I'd go to the Frankston Cinema. And this was around the time where I saw Sideways, I saw Closer, I saw Ong Bak at the cinema.
You saw Closer at the cinemas?
I did, 2004. This was the time when I just went on a cinema rush.
I saw Closer at the cinemas. It was very good. Anyway,
this scene. Are you chewing gum? Oh, man.
Oh, that was so funny. Because you got Giamatti is just like, oh, yes, passion fruit, strawberry, lemon.
Cheese.
Hint of asparagus.
I was like, what?
That's from the smell alone. And then at the end, it's, do you have gum in your mouth? That's so funny.
But I love how Jack is just looking at him like, oh, strawberries, definitely strawberries. Like, it's like that. No cheese, though, no cheese. Even just the conversations about the wine, well, like those shots when they're driving along, you hear the voiceover and you have Miles talking about, you know, what makes a Pinot Noir and the differences between Chardonnay and like how the mist of the Pacific comes over. That is great. I love listening to all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no shit. I actually spoke to my liquor manager today. I was like, hey, man, have you seen Sideways? He's like, nah, what's that? I was like, it's all about wine. Seriously, watch it. But even here where they've traveled a fair way, they get to this restaurant and the bartender knows who he is.
Yeah, the hitching post. He's a regular here.
Like, to be a regular somewhere so far away, he loves coming here.
This is prime Wine Valley. But there's a little back and forth here with Maya as she comes out.
Virginia Madsen. Do you know her from anything?
I actually do not. I can't pinpoint any other movie she's been in.
Yeah, me neither, to be honest. She's good in this.
Sure, she is. She's enough for a supporting actress award nomination.
Maybe.
Maybe? Do we need to go see who else was nominated?
No, not worth it. But yeah, no, she was good in this. But Jack's all over it. He's like, oh, nah, she's probably not married anymore. You know, they just wear that.
He's like, that's how I got my wife.
Yeah.
And Jack is definitely a playful guy here. Like, when she comes over, it's like, oh, I'm Maya. Maya, hiya. Like, I laughed. I can't believe I laughed at it.
Yeah, I laughed. And I love that no one reacted to it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's 95% of my comedy. Me saying something I think is really funny, no one reacts, move on.
We laugh here, and then when the episode comes out, you could hear the coughs around the world. But there's this whole story going along now here where basically Jack throws Miles under the bus a little bit here when he's saying, like, yeah, he's getting his book published, like, flat out lie, and he's kind of painted him into this corner here.
I mean, yes and no. Like, you can say, oh, almost published, you know, almost published.
Jack does this a lot to Miles throughout this film, though. That's the problem. That's the problem with Jack. He's in this for this weekend, this one go at the weekend.
Week.
The week. But Miles, he starts to get involved with Miles. Like, he wants this to be a thing.
A real thing, yeah.
As everything gets thrown at him, how can he?
Yeah, no, that's fair. But now we're introduced to Sandra Oh as Stephanie.
Yeah, and if you don't know about Jack's intentions by this time, he definitely makes it clear just before this. He's like, okay, I don't care what you say. I'm here to bust a nut. I'm going to get laid before my wedding. Like, okay.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Now, obviously, you and I are stand-up guys and all that. Do people still do this thing where, like, oh, if they're not married, it's not cheating to them, basically, and let's go out and get laid because that's okay and I can't do it once I'm married?
If they're out on their bucks weekend, absolutely not. I thought you meant if they're the person and they're hooking up with a married person, is it wrong for them to do that?
No, not that. Like, just the way that Jack's so casually like, oh, you know, I'm getting married on the weekend, I'm going to make the most of it. Like, surely he wouldn't care when he is married, right?
That I think that's the thing with Jack is he needs...
Is this just an excuse for him?
See, I don't know. I feel like we need this here for this character so that he has some sort of redemption right at the end. When he finally breaks down to Miles at the end and goes, I can't lose my wife. You need to help me. I can't live without
her. That's his redemption?
Is it not?
Oh, that's a weak...
When he finally breaks down and realizes I've done wrong, I need to fix this.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's enough of a redemption.
It's some sort of redemption.
One quick crying scene and you're just, oh yeah, no, it's fine. You're redeemed for a week of adultery.
Well, then how can you redeem this character?
You can't.
They try their best.
They failed.
There's some sort of redemption from the stuff he does.
I love in that scene, because I guess we won't talk about it later now, where he starts crying and I was not sure if he's acting here. And I feel like Miles was in the same boat.
I agree. But then did you think by the end of that scene that he was legit?
I honestly don't know.
I think he was.
Yeah, I know you do, but yes, I'm not sold on it.
All right, then. I don't care.
Anyway, Stephanie, a bit flirty, says she needs to be spanked.
She wants it.
She definitely wants a
Jack
piece,
knows
of,
that.
Piece of the old Thomas Jane.
You idiot.
You could say she wants to be punished.
Stop it. I love it how she says that to him. Cut to the scene where Jack's coming out with two crates of wine after.
Yeah. No. So, but Miles, I was expecting a reaction from Miles. They're like, what are you doing? Like, we're going to so many places. Why'd you budget? He was like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's wine. Who cares? He doesn't care.
I love this next bit where Miles is talking about his ex-wife, Vicky, Victoria.
That's right.
And he's like, the way he describes her is, she had the best palate of any woman I've ever known.
And you know he's talking about wine palate. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, like, obviously. And that's what he values in a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, her palate was amazing.
And even this argument they have here where, you know, he tells him that she got remarried and she's coming to the wedding.
That's rough. Like, that would really sting.
Yeah, and he's like, well, why are you telling me now? And he gets super mad. He's like, why are you even talking to her? Like, why are you talking to her? And loses it, grabs the wine and runs down the hill and, you know, a little comedic chase around the vineyard.
Yeah, and how does that scene end? It ends with him gently caressing red grapes.
Yeah, because I feel like he's looking at those grapes like they're young. They need to mature. They need to grow up to become a fine wine. I feel like that's where he needs to see himself. He realizes, I need to grow up here, much like these wines, these grapes. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's not as good as some of the stuff I say.
Oh, what the fuck?
It's okay for you, Hendo. Okay, so this is a funny movie. Like, even just reading my notes and remembering it is quite funny. So they're going out to dinner with Stephanie, Maya, Stephanie and Maya. And Miles clearly is not into it. Jack's dragging him along. He wants to hook up with Stephanie, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, if anyone fucking orders Merlot, I'm leaving.
I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot. Honestly, when I saw it the first time, I'm like, what's wrong with Merlot? Like, no, no. Right. As of now, I know Pinot Noir is a much better drop than Merlot.
Have you had Pinot Noir?
It's my favorite wine. My favorite red wine.
What a shocker.
Why?
Since when? 2004?
Sure. When I was like 16. Why not?
Oh, really?
17. I was 17 in 2004.
Were you drinking wine when you were 17?
No. I was on the cider.
He says while drinking cider.
Can't go past a good cider.
Good to see you've matured your palate, Hendo. But no, this is a dinner where he gets really drunk and embarrasses himself. I mean,
I don't think he really embarrasses himself that much.
I think if he's drinking so much to the point where someone reaches across the table and stops him from pouring, he has embarrassed himself.
I think Jack is stopping him before he goes any further.
He's slurring. His eyes are half closed.
They're all drinking wine.
No one is like him.
He's perfectly fine when he gets back into the next scene. Because
he's sobered up. It was a long drive home.
Get off it.
Long, Hendo. No.
He embarrasses himself a lot more when he gets drunk. Well, he doesn't even get drunk with the bucket over his head.
He gets drunk and he calls his ex-wife.
He hasn't embarrassed himself. It's not like he's got up and fallen over or smashed a table or something like that.
Did you drink and dial? Yeah, don't recommend that.
No.
But he cracks the shits here, says he's not going to go to the wedding to Vicky, you know. You go. I'm not going.
And then she mentions it. Oh, maybe you shouldn't go. Oh, well, fuck you then. And he's like, come on. But here's where we get the truth bomb, I guess, dropped that he had an affair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's sort of said here, he gets angry and it's never mentioned again. But it's good that we know this. Like, he has...
Yeah, there's the reason why they separated.
He's ended his own marriage. It's not some...
And that's why he's so sad and still, you know, infatuated with her. Like, he didn't leave the relationship.
Yeah.
That's good that we know that.
And also, honestly, it also adds, you know, depth and complexity to this character as well. You know, it's not just, oh, you know, woe is he, this poor guy, the audience feel... You know, sympathetic for him. Like this
he needs
is,
to have, yeah. He needs to be yeah. layered. He needs to
yeah,
be more
he's very layered,
and that's one of the beauties of this film and why I love it so much. Is our protagonist here is like that. His character is well developed, well acted in a really good drama comedy.
Yeah, I know. I absolutely agree.
As when they get back to Stephanie's house, here pulls out the condoms. He's like, one for you, three for me. Oh, yeah. Jack, hey,
very generous. Thinking Miles would need one here.
Yes. Yeah, but Jack and Steph, they converse to the bedroom pretty quickly, and this is where we get, you know, nice discussions.
Nice.
Between.
I mean, all they talk about is wine.
And
even at dinner, all they were talking about
was
wine.
That's all he does. That's all he is. She's very well adversed in wine and knowledge.
Even this bit here. Can I ask you a personal question? Why are you so into Pinot Noir?
And honestly, I think this monologue from Paul Giamatti is fantastic. Now, I'm not shocked that this won Best Adapted Screenplay at the Oscar that year. I think it's a great conversation, a great script.
Yeah, there's a lot of correlation between what he's saying about Pinot's and how he is and where he is mm-hmm. in life. I won't say it all, but, you know, he's saying that Pinot needs constant care and attention and it will only grow in really specific corners of the world. You know, this is a unique and beautiful flower and needs a special kind of loving. And that's how he sees himself,
Works
most
perfect.
Importantly.
Actually, after the release of this film, the sales of Pinot Noir rose by about 20% over the Christmas and the New Year of the following year.
Nice.
Conversely, the sales for Merlot dropped.
I mean, really?
Because no one wants to drink any fucking Merlot.
But this talk has gotten as close to personal as it's going to get, and her hand is on his. And he bails.
He's just not ready for it.
He wimps out. Can't do it.
For like, what, 5 minutes?
No, and then we get the classic mirror talk. I mean, we've all done it.
Most notably with Vincent, Pulp Fiction.
Sure.
Can you imagine Miles going in and saying what he says? Saying, have a nice night, you're going to go back, jerk off, and think about, you know?
No. We get much more of a, you're such a fucking loser, you make me sick. He's so hard on himself.
He is.
But no, he kisses her awkwardly, sort of that middle-aged, awkward kissing.
Yeah, they don't want to go too far. They want to acknowledge that they have feelings for each other, and let's see where this goes.
But I sort of got very mixed messages from my ear. Like, they kiss very briefly, and she's like, yeah, I should go.
Yeah, don't want to take it too far. too quickly. What do you think of them leaving? And he's like, oh, you still want to read my novel? Here's a box. And here's another box.
Fuck that.
Yeah, oh dear. But it's the next morning, the Tuesday, got Christine, Jack's wife or Jack's fiance calling a lot. And even this here where Miles is like, what the fuck are you doing with this woman? You're going, like, you're abandoning the day's plans again to go be with her.
This guy is a terrible friend to him.
Yeah.
It is a dog act to just walk in and be like, oh, you go play golf by yourself. I'm going to go hang with this chick I met yesterday.
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
Not cool at all. Sandra Oh actually learned how to ride the motorbike for this film.
I mean, that helps.
It does help. Method acting.
No, that's not the same thing.
She went and joined a biker gang for 6 months. Yeah, we get a quick montage of Miles' boring day by himself.
Oh, I think it's more, it's contrasting between how cool Jack is and he's got all these, you know, he's now got this girl who's, you know, wants to be with him and stuff. And then we see Miles by himself, riding in the pool, by himself, drinking coffee alone, checking messages, oh, no messages, playing golf by himself. Like, and then he walks into his motel and, not now, not now.
Did you know at this time, Sandra Oh was married to Alexander Payne? So Thomas Hayden Church was quite nervous about this scene. They actually wanted to make it more funny, but apparently Payne wanted them to make it a bit more passionate with each take, and I think they went with the funny version instead.
Yeah, always go funny.
Absolutely. This is funny.
It was pretty funny. But we hear Miles and Jack talking, and Miles is again having a go at him, and he's like, oh, I've been honest with her. I haven't told her I'm available. It's like,
yeah,
that is not even close to being honest.
We're not mutually exclusive. Like, that's the bullshit line that they feed to these women.
But he's obviously taken with her because he's talking about putting the wedding on hold here.
He's having doubts about it all, and Miles is just like, pull your fucking head
and
in.
He's trying to justify it by saying, oh, I'm looking out for Christine's feelings.
Yeah. Miles is having none of it.
No.
He's like, what, you've been with her for a fucking day?
He says he's in love with her.
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing here. He goes to the bowling alley with her entire family. I love the look on Miles' face when he's like playing with the kid and they're all enamored with him. And he's just sitting there going, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, Jack goes off with the family and Miles ends up planning a big night with a barely legal magazine.
Yep. I'm sure you've been there many times.
Looks like he's just reading it for the articles, though.
What, were you disappointed there wasn't a Giamatti jerk-off scene?
That's what he needed for the nom.
Oh, dear.
But he's hoping to find Maya at the hitching post later on that night. She's not there, so he gets wasted. That's the end of that day.
Now it's time for some golf.
Oh, your favourite part. This is your excellent.
This is my... No. It's pretty funny. You got golfers behind him hitting on top of him.
That's not cool.
No, it's not cool.
I love it how he turns it around, though, and swings it straight back at them. Yeah. And they think they're big, so they're getting their golf buggy. And Jack goes, oh, here we go. Starts chasing after him. And they shit themselves and drive off.
In fairness, he's acting like a crazy person.
Yeah, it was great. But they're off on another wine tour with the ladies.
Yeah, I thought cinematography in this sequence was really good, in particular when they're having the picnic on the hill where the sun was like catching the long grass. Really it looked really nice. Picturesque, you could say.
And you did. But Miles and Maya, they do it. Good on him.
They do it.
It's like releasing the cork off a pressurized wine bottle.
Did you just come up with that?
I absolutely did.
It's not bad.
Thank you.
I saw this video of someone using like a glass, like a wine glass, just like rubbing the neck of it and the cork was popping out. Do you reckon that's possible?
Is that a metaphor?
Sure. Gee, it's amazing where your mind instantly goes.
I usually keep it to myself, but I've had a couple of ciders tonight. Yeah,
please do keep it to yourself. But no, he can't help himself, our Miles. He doesn't want to lie.
No. I think he accidentally blurts this out.
Yeah, he does accidentally say it. Yeah. You know, he says, oh, you know, we've got the rehearsal dinner Friday night. Rehearsal for what? Who's getting married?
He just bugger eyes like, oh, shit.
No, but honestly, in that situation, he could have easily said, oh, a friend of ours.
That is true.
All right? He is making the conscious choice here to say the truth, that Jack's getting married.
Yeah. But she's not happy, which understandably so. In the moment, she's gonna be mad.
Yeah. I mean, he's lied to... I mean, is she more annoyed that the way that Stephanie's been treated, or is she annoyed that Miles hasn't told her the truth?
I think it's both, but there's definitely a big portion of Miles not telling her the truth. She mentions when they get back to their house, I've just got out of a toxic relationship with a guy who lied to me all the time. I don't want to get into another one.
Yeah. I was gonna tell you, but you wanted to fuck me first. Yep.
Hey, his response takes him a while. He's like, oh, that's not what it was about. Like, good response, mate. Really convincing.
I mean, it was convincing to me. I don't believe that he was waiting till he had sex with her.
I don't believe that too, but his manner and the way he says it is not convincing. But Jack goes to cheer Miles up with a little wine tasting, and Miles, he's pretty disappointed right now. The way he's speaking about this wine, it's a piece of shit. You know, he doesn't think it's good at all. And the matters certainly don't get better when he finds out his book got rejected again.
No, and he goes back to this tasting area like it's a bar, and he's like, more.
Hit me.
Give me a real glass. And the guy, like, he's pretty nice. He's like, why don't you just buy a bottle, walk outside and drink it? I was like, this guy's nice. Nope.
Nah. Dumps the whole spit bucket into his mouth.
I mean, it's not like he's drunk at this point. He's sober and he's acting like this.
Yeah.
Bit of a dick.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, he's had a pretty rough day so far.
Jack, though, great line as he's taking him out.
His mum died.
It's like, gee, that's not bad.
And everyone's like, oh, okay, fair enough.
Like, what do you say to that? Oh, okay. Makes sense.
And they get this deflating conversation about life. Oh, all right, this is the down point. This is really the low point of the film. Actually, no, I could say the next scene is when Steph beats the shit out of Jack with a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, does she ever?
Bloody hell, that was rough.
Bloody hell, indeed.
Bloody hell, mate. I love Miles' response when she's like, fuck you two. What'd I do? And even the snap cut to Jack with his bloody towel over his face, like, you fucking son of a bitch, what'd you do? What'd you tell her for? He's like, I didn't, I swear I didn't.
I can't believe he could convince Jack that he didn't tell him.
Yeah, and that never comes back.
Even later where he's like, oh, we may have been talking to, in front of the barman about this, but there's no way we said Saturday or whatever it was.
And he just brushes it off.
Yeah.
But obviously the relationship with Steph here is done. So they go out to dinner and Jack, he hasn't learnt anything.
What a piece of shit, like, honestly.
He just starts tuning the next person he sees.
Yeah, and it's not even like, okay, he legitimately fell for Stephanie. You know, he found his one in a million. Like, you can't even say that anymore. No. He's just found another random waitress who he's like, yeah, I want to root this chick.
And even Miles, like, you are a piece of shit. Why can't we just go home, play some golf, and go home in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's all right. I'm going with this girl.
I know you disapprove, and I respect that, but there are some things I have to do.
No, I don't agree with that. Moving on to Friday morning. Well, what is it, 2 a.m. or something Friday morning?
This is pretty funny.
This is great.
So Jack shows up naked and he's like, oh man, I left my wallet there.
So I was supposed to know her husband was going to walk in with my dick in her ass. Right, yeah, runs back naked, freezing cold. And yeah, he breaks down here. He's like, the wedding rings are in the wallet, all that. I need to get them.
Not sure I'd buy that.
I miss my wife. I can't lose her. But you still get dickish Jackie where he's like, I can't go in. My ankle, man. I can't go in. And Miles, he's a good friend, this Miles.
Very good friend.
Sneaks into this guy's house, watches them have a smash with the wallet on the side table. Interesting that the husband's like into the fact that his wife was getting done.
Hmm.
But Miles decides this is the perfect time to grab it since they're in mid-coitus.
Coitus, good word.
Yeah, so rushes in, grabs it, runs out, and you get naked MC Gainey, apparently, this guy. Didn't know who that was until I saw in the trivia that they actually closed down the entire street and told all the owners of the houses to stay indoors for a sum of money while he did this. This guy, I remember him from Con Air.
He looked like the guy from Happy Gilmore.
No, oh, you're talking about the big guy?
Yeah.
No, that was Richard Kiel.
Okay.
He played Jaws in the James Bond films.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this guy was the pilot in Con Air who flew the Con Air plane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's in it through, like, the majority of the film.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, now you know what his dick looks like.
Thank you for that.
Actually, that house that they filmed at was actually a meth lab until a couple of weeks prior to this film. They didn't change anything what it looked like in the house itself. They was like, yep, let's film it.
Why not, eh? But after this little adventure, they drive for ages. And Jack, you know, being the good friend that he is, he's like, I'll drive. I just feel like driving. What? Bang, crashes the car into a tree.
So, yeah, this doesn't look like I was in an accident.
Why don't you just say you got in a fight at the pub?
Because Jack thinks of this and
acts on it. Wants to wreck his car.
Yeah.
And then another funny moment, they put the cinder block on the accelerator and the car just drives straight past the tree.
That was great. I do like the added touch here where they end up getting back to Jack's place and they save to Miles, like, just can you stay in the driveway so they can see the car?
I mean, what's the point of it if they're not going to show the car?
It's a good point. Back there's like, oh, yeah, crash the car, but see my nose. Who gives a shit? The wedding. It's a touching little moment.
Which bit?
Miles, as he's watching him, he's getting a little sad as, you know, they've got their heads bowing to each other.
It's all fake, though.
I don't think it is. I think
Jack is a very forgiving person.
I think Jack is genuinely sorry for what he did.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
I think he really loves his wife here.
Eh.
I don't think it's fake that he's, like, marrying her.
I mean, agree to disagree.
But that is the end of Jack. We don't see him again after this. Huh. What about the little discussion with Victoria? Or should I say Susan?
Susan, yes, yeah. Of course. Susan from Friends.
Jessica Hesch, that's her name.
Hesch.
Yeah, close enough.
Sure.
I mean, you can see Miles is very somewhat distraught about what's happened here. She's married. She's pregnant. She's not drinking anymore, obviously. And he's sad about the life he could have had. Like, he missed his opportunity here with this woman. And the fact that she's moved on and created a new, somewhat better life, he's upset about that. And they do have this conversation, Miles and Maya, a little while back about this awesome bottle of wine he's got and how they talk about this is the perfect time to be drinking this for, like, the special occasion. And this is the time to do it. He drinks it in a fast food restaurant.
I did like that bit where Maya's talking about, and she's like, he says he's waiting for a special occasion. And she's like, the wine is the special occasion. Yeah. That was good. He's drinking wine in the sippy cup, I guess. He's upset she's pregnant. You get that. You know, he's cut up about it. That's fine. But it's sort of this that spurs him to go back and see Maya.
No, I believe it's the phone call he gets from her saying that she's read his book and she really enjoyed it, but she's, you know, conflicted about a couple of issues with the book, and she basically invites him back up. Now, it's getting into winter, it's cold, but all you see is him driving up and then a knock on the door. And I think that's a great ending.
Great's a strong word. It's a good ending.
The original ending, which was in the book, was that Maya actually shows up to Jack's wedding to tell Miles that she sees him more in a positive light after reading his book. And Alexander Payne didn't want that because he felt that was too much of a Hollywood ending.
Okay. I mean, I don't mind it. It's fine.
I think this version's better.
Okay. Let's get into it. Final thoughts.
I obviously picked this for a reason for the patrons to vote on. I love this film so very, very much. It looks fantastic. There are some great acting pieces here from Paul Giamatti and I think Virginia Madsen as well. I think these two are standouts. Thomas Hayden Church plays that smarmy kind of guy quite well. I think the multi-layered protagonist we get here in Miles is done perfectly. He goes through a myriad of different emotions and levels throughout this whole film. And I think it really works well where this character ends up. The wine discussions in this is fantastic. It's thoughtful. I learned a lot about wine actually as I was going through this. The comedy is fantastic. There's so many funny points, not just the words that people say, but the editing, the way they snap cut from shot to shot is funny. You don't need to have dialogue for humor. And it works perfect in this film. I think overall this film is a joy to watch. I could watch this easily again. It's 4.5 stars for me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear you give it 4.5. I honestly had forgotten that this was something, a movie you'd put up. You know, a movie that was close to you. I think of this movie more, to be honest, as a Shane movie because I know he's a big fan of it as well.
Rightfully so.
What did I think of this film? Really, really good.
Good.
As you said, a great comedy drama. There is real emotion. The characters are really fleshed out. Paul Giamatti, he's always entertaining to watch,
mm-hmm.
but I think this is just such a perfect vehicle to showcase his, you know, pathetic nature that he shows so well in various roles. But I think it really is captured here quite brilliantly. There's a lot to relate to as well about, you know, broken up relationships, about friendships and how people interact in there. I think Thomas Hayden Church was great. As I said, I've only seen him in this and Spider-Man, so he's definitely better in Spider-Man.
Getting fucked.
Was he Sandman?
Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman. Well done. I had a great time watching it. Lots of laughs. I give it 4 stars.
I thought you were going to say 4 stars. Yeah. That's good. Awesome. Glad to hear it.
It's great.
All right. Thank you very much, patrons. Now, as we said last episode, our next patron breakdown in the next couple of days will be Sorcerer from Chris Beardsall. And that's all we have to say about that. So thank you very much, patrons.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time for Sorcerer.
Bye.